Hi, Curtis.
Hello.
And hi, hello, B2B Writing Success members and interested listeners. We opened this up to more than just members today, so we might have some additional folks on. This is Lisa Christoffel. I am the managing editor for B2B Writing Success. And with me today, I've got Curtis Dennis, who has been our reality blogger for the past roughly 16 months, right? Something around that?
Yes, something around there.
Okay. All right, cool. So we're going to talk a little bit with Curtis today about, you know, what he was doing before he became a reality blogger, what life has been like as our reality blogger, and maybe a little bit about what his plans are afterwards. So Curtis, most people, at least B2B Writing Success members, know your background, but if you could just share with us a little bit about what you were doing before you started copywriting.
Well, I've pretty much worked as a construction worker since I graduated high school way back in 1980. I went straight into the trades and worked in Vegas, Southern California, and then finally ended up here just north of Seattle.
Excellent. And you do like ceilings or roofs or something, right? You do some specialty construction stuff?
Yes. Was basically considered commercial construction. Most of what I did was the suspended ceilings, the squares or rectangles you might see above your head, you know, at the movie theater or the grocery store or down at the drugstore. It's been an interesting career, but it's not the easiest life by any means. You constantly have to commute to the jobs because, you know, once you finish building the building, you have to go start the next one. So it was kind of nice not having to go to the same office or cubicle every day, but up to 2 hours each way commuting to work in Seattle traffic is no fun for anybody. So
yeah, that can get old.
Yes.
That can get really old. So then how much actual copywriting experience had you had? Like how long had you been working at it before you became our reality blogger?
I had helped my ex-wife and I started, we jumped on the online bandwagon back in, I think we launched the site in 1999 or early 2000. She did the coding because that's what she wanted to do, and she thought that she liked the way that I wrote, and she says, "I'll do the coding and build the web pages, and you figure out what we're putting on the pages." So that was just kind of a, you know, write like I talk scenario. I didn't actually have any formal training, or I hadn't even heard of AWAI at that point. So that's where it started. But then in about 2004, I started my own hobby sites and started looking for resources and eventually got hooked up with AWAI. I think the first thing I bought, first course I bought was the, Nick's course. I think it was the Digital Copywriter is what we're calling it now.
Now it's called the Digital Copywriter Handbook. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think then it may have been the Writing for the Web 2.0 or something along those lines. But that was the first formal training that I took. And then from there, I just, I seemed to keep running into people that needed help on their websites or needed somebody that, you know, knew a little, you know, that could actually work on a computer. So I started putting together flyers and things for, local nonprofit groups, mainly just, you know, to have something to do. But then it quickly turned into people started asking for, you know, actual copywriting and you know, ground up websites, and it's been kind of all over the place, but the copywriting seems to be the one constant with everything. I've been writing fairly consistently since around 2008, but it wasn't until Bootcamp 2019 decided to get serious. I had torn my rotator cuff. Surprise, surprise. The surgery kind of knocked me out of the loop for, I wasn't able to work my regular job for a year. So I really kind of, at that point, was leaning into getting all the copywriting components going, the website, a few more classes, trying to get some clients. And then when everything shut down, you know, when the pandemic started, I just started applying for positions literally here, there, and everywhere. If it was connected with construction, I tried to use my, almost 40 years of experience. And it opened a few doors that way and kind of got the ball rolling.
That is one of the things that I recommend to members a lot is use your background, right? Leverage your connections and your knowledge because it makes a big difference.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of people say, "Oh, well, I was in the insurance business for 20 years. I don't want to do that anymore." It's a lot easier to write about what you've been doing as a career than it is to actually do that career. I mean, writing about construction is nowhere near as physically demanding as actually doing the construction.
I'm sure.
You've got all that knowledge and expertise, on the job experience, things you can put out there to people. Oh, I worked on a project like this, or a couple of years ago I did that. But it's just it's been an interesting ride here. It really has. It's been a fun learning adventure, and I've been able to keep the bills paid while all this is going on, in spite of the pandemic and everything else. So I kind of think a little bit of skill and probably a real good helping of dumb luck has probably got the ball rolling for me. And yeah, I have no desire to go back to putting my tool bags on 5 days a week.
Yeah.
That's just out of the question at this point.
Yeah. So how much has your copywriting business sort of grown since you started the position? Because I know a lot of the blogs that you write for us are new clients that you've either had discovery calls with or you're writing for them. So it sounds like you're building your copywriting income pretty nicely.
It has gone up. This year has been the best year so far. Like I said, 2018, I decided to get serious. I signed up for boot camp with a super early discount, used all my PWA dollars to, so that I could afford to get to Delray Beach. Boot camp is just awesome. If you get a chance to go. But the spec assignments, that was, I submitted one spec assignment. And there on the, Friday that, of the boot camp, everybody's kind of heading out during the awards and starting to run off. They were starting to go through the spec assignments. And the people I was sitting with, they were running the names up there. And a couple of people, they started, kind of tapping me on the shoulder and banging on the table. And I'm like, what? And I look up and there was my name on the screen. And it was like, I won. And it was such a cool experience because we all wonder if we're good enough. Do we got the chops? Can we, can I actually take care of this client and write the persuasive copy or the how-to or the pillar page that they need? And when AWI says you're good enough, boy, that just, if that doesn't put a feather in your cap and some strut in your step, I just don't know what does.
It gives you a lot of confidence, right?
It's a huge boost right then and there on the spot. And, after we got back from boot camp, I kind of, was working over the summer to start building up the clients and everything. I think I did the Elisa's 21-day LinkedIn challenge and really started trying to just really hone in on the actual what kind of writing I want to do. I'm not a very good sales writer. I'm good on all the other stuff, but I don't think I'll be writing any, long sales letters for anybody anytime in the near future. But, there's plenty of people that need, blog articles and web pages written. And, those are my peeps. So I kind of got the ball rolling there with boot camp, and I've just been, trying to keep that thing moving forward ever since. So it's worked out pretty good. So 2019 would have been my first year of actually almost full-time copywriting. And I think I made maybe a whopping $2,500 all year long. It was basically just a couple of AWAR, AWAI articles, and then a couple of local things I had found, a couple local businesses here on Camano Island that needed a little help. And so it was just like, okay, I'm working with clients. I think a lot of this you kind of have to figure out as you go along. You can have all the tips and hacks out there in front of you, but you know what works for Lisa doesn't necessarily work for Curtis,
right?
Or then the next person. So I spent a lot of time sorting through some of the gurus and the must-haves that everybody was screaming about, and kind of found my own little niche there, which has worked out really good.
You have to figure out which pieces of advice work for you, right? Absolutely.
Yes. I'm just, like I said, I won't do long sales copy, It's just a long form copy. I'm not a big fan of reading it myself. But the 1,000 to maybe 3,000, I'll sit down and read, check them out, what have you. So, and I think that's kind of important too, is if the email blast that you're getting from all the newsletters and things, if the email blasts aren't getting your attention, then you probably don't want to be an email writer. I think there's a little bit of kind of finding your way there.
And you have to have curiosity about the project, right? You have to say, hey, what makes this work? Or, hey, you know, why does this not work? So you're right. If you're not curious about it, then it's probably not something you want to write.
Yes. And I think one of the topics I think I've written about, well, I know I've written about a few times, are different strategies I've used for trying to, find clients. Some of them have worked, some of them not really. There's a learning process. Nobody's going to give you, a printed notebook that says, here's steps 1 through 100, and when you get to step 100, you're done. Because everybody's a little bit different. I think if you're not writing in something you're passionate about, you're going to find this job to be a lot harder. And in particular with the reality blogger, we're not talking about writing skills or writing formulas or templates or any of those things. This is more about marketing your business. And I think that's really the hard part, is a lot of people don't have a problem writing. It's the whole business side of it that goes along. Mm-hmm. Luckily I had my own contracting business, so I've dealt with contracts and lawyers and, all the fine print and been to court and, argued over prices. I've done all that. And I think that kind of gave me a good sense of punching in the numbers that the clients, are willing to pay. It just seems to be going pretty well. I could definitely use a few more clients, but right now I'm not going to complain. I've got a few ongoing projects going on. This one with on the reality blog is going to be wrapping up here soon. I'm just kind of waiting to see what's going to happen next. So there's a bit of anticipation in the air at my office.
That's cool. That's always a nice place to be. So what are the biggest reasons that you think someone might benefit? So you are moving on, right? We're going to announce a new reality blogger at Bootcamp who will start right after Bootcamp. And right now we put a call out to see who might be interested. So what would you, if you were talking to a friend, right, who came up and said, I'm kind of interested in the reality blogger position. What do you think the benefits are? What would you say to them?
I would say it's been a great opportunity. Like I said, when it comes to the copywriting, AWAI is head and shoulders above any of the other courses I've seen or checked out over the years. So if you can get connected with an industry giant, this is like hitching your wagon to Microsoft in the computer world. If you're connected with AWAI as far as copywriting, those are the people. I mean, we've got Nick and Joshua and Will and all the cast of, and they're just they're so talented and they're so willing to be helpful. So getting connected with AWAI, even just as a reality vlogger, it's going to definitely, you know, get you, it's going to put you in, at least connected with, you know, with the experts in the field, which is a great resource that, you know, we've had a few conversations via email. I've had a couple, I think, with Helen over the last couple of years, but everybody's always been so helpful. So if you can connect with AWAI, I think that's step one in getting your copywriting career going in the right direction. And as far as the reality blogger, I had only had a couple of clients before you know, you guys, in your infinite wisdom, decided to offer me the job. So I really didn't have much experience as far as working with clients. The clients that I did have, everything was kind of very casual. It's like, okay, well, you know, we'd like to get a couple new blog posts done before the end of the month. And here with AWAI, I know there's a deadline, and there's a process. And I think working inside that process almost as soon as I started, it gave me a real good chance to see working for a professional client, you know, how that relationship works, you know, got me working, thinking on the timeline. So I think I wrote in one of the reality blog posts, my schedule revolves around Wednesday because that's when I have to have my article submitted to AWAI for the reality blogger. So my universe revolves around the deadline. And it took me a little while to figure out that I needed to make that shift because I was constantly like, wow, where did the week go? I mean, it's Monday morning and I haven't even started. This is not good. So I think getting into that formal process as far as submitting it, and then if there's any edits, you know, and then I'm not sure what Nan's title is. I know you're the managing editor, but I know there's also a couple people that review everything before it goes published to the website. Somebody's adding the graphics, you know, because I don't do that. I just have to type on the blank piece of paper. I think being introduced to what that a formal process actually looks like, I've since connected with a local, well, they're a digital marketing agency here. They build websites, but a couple of their customers are contractors, so they found me through my website, and I'm working on the second website rewrite for those guys right now. And that was the first thing I was asking them, was like, okay, well, when's the, you know, I need a timeline. And they're like, well, you know, the website's not going to be going live for probably a month. So, you know, we're working on the new template. So yeah, anytime in the next 30 days. And I'm like, well, you know, no, I need to, I need some deadlines because I've got other people to schedule around you. So I, you know, and they were just like, oh, we didn't, you know, it's a small firm. There's only like 3 or 4 people there. And they were like, oh, wow, that's actually not a bad idea. We should probably formalize, you know, set. And I said, yeah, if you just let me know which day of the week it is is the deadline date, I'll make sure to meet the deadline. And, you know, because they can't, even if they have the template done, they obviously can't put it online until they have the new content. So,
right.
You know, it's a lot like construction. You've got several different subcontractors moving around on a project, and each of them has a specific task. And even though we're all doing our own thing, they all come together in the end, you know, for that finished product. So, but no, the reality blog, having this job for the last year or so now, I think is actually kind of solidified my business practices here and how I run my business. You've got to meet the deadlines. I think anybody just starting out, if you've only worked with a few clients, I think they would probably get the similar benefit. The structure, you know, that professional structure instead of that kind of a casual, if you can have it ready by, you know, the second Tuesday of next week, we'll all be good with that. Having a deadline makes it much easier to schedule everything else around. And when you're juggling I'm just juggling four or five clients right now. The deadlines, you know, those milestones, that's what keeps everything moving forward and, you know, keeps the clients happy and keeps me, you know, hitting those deadlines. So,
right. Did it also help you sort of get into a cadence of writing on a more regular basis or idea generation and that type of thing as well?
Yes. So I've kind of formulated my own process here. You know, I've got my desk and everything with my computer. But the one thing I do is I keep a giant notepad right next to the computer and list everything as I'm going along. It definitely forced me to get more organized. I couldn't just leave things sitting around to the last minute. Like I said, working with AWAI is awesome, and the last thing I wanted to do was miss a deadline or turn in something that was just absolutely horrible. So that structure and definitely kind of made the rest of the writing business kind of fall into place for me. Like I said, I've got some organization. The structure is great, and it does help keep you writing every day. I can't think of the last time I didn't write, the last day that I didn't write something. Even if it's just scratching down some notes about something, you know, catch a headline on TV or something. Yeah, there's constantly got a pad and paper close by. My note application on my phone. So if I'm out and about and something catches my eye or something, I'm constantly. So yeah, I've got little stacks of interesting ideas and topics, and I try to sort through those, you know, for my own website blog mm-hmm. in between writing assignments. So
sure.
The structure and everything has been great. It's just I would be doing nearly as well.
That's excellent. That's excellent. So what do you think the biggest challenge or challenges that somebody might face as a reality blogger?
I think for me, because I was just like, well, you know, I've got a degree in web design. I'm pretty good with SEO. I'll have no shortage of subjects to write about. But it's not that easy. Most of what I wrote about was things that I was doing to improve my website, ways I was reaching out to clients I did one about the pitchless email, which had quite a few people contact me, you know, via Facebook, and they were like, that's a great idea. And I was like, it's not mine. I picked it up somewhere else and filed it in my memory bank years ago, and then I got a trade organization had awarded some of the top 25 contractors in the U.S., and I was like, oh, I can turn this into a blog article about, you know, pitchless emails. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the hard part is getting that creativity fired up. If you, you know, anybody from AWI came to me and said, Curtis, you know, we need, you know, 1,500 words on the top three things you need to do for SEO right now. Boom, I'm writing. But when you have to figure out the idea, you got to figure out the subject matter, and then assemble the resources because you've got to do some research, you know, all this, the core web, like Google's core web vitals update, and then, mm-hmm. You know, that shift from the leap, there's a lot to keep track of. And trying to get creative while you're trying to stay current, you can find yourself going down rabbit holes really easy. So I started outlining everything, putting down my notes, and then it's more of a go back and fill it in after type thing. But I tried to outline it and then let it sit for a while and think about it and then come back to it a few hours or the next morning and go that way. And it seems to be working really well. But like I said, if you're not marketing your business, if you're not trying to grow or trying to improve your SERP ranking or something, you're not going to have a whole lot to write about. So,
right. And that's a really, really good point, right? Because the point of the reality blogger is to let everybody else look over your shoulder as you're growing your business.
Yes.
But if you're not growing your business, what are they looking at? Right.
you're gonna be sitting there in front of the blank screen for hours at a time, and it's just no fun. And I also, like I said, I try to keep my little notes handy, which are good for inspiration. You've got to figure out what works specifically for you. I mean, I can take the 10 steps to becoming a successful copywriter and go through them, but it doesn't mean that it's necessarily going to work for me. I do things a little different, but that's what works for me, and my clients are happy. They're still giving me more work, and they're happily paying their bills without any problem. So I have to kind of assume that I'm kind of in a good spot right now. We'll see what happens later this year. But yeah, if you're not marketing or trying something, there's not a whole lot to write about. Like I said, the pitchless emails, and I personally have never even gone to the Upwork website, but I know a lot of people find great success there, and I hear a lot of people don't make any money there. So, you've got to kind of figure out what you want to write about, and then you're going to have to spend the time checking it out. I try to include the links, and if there's a cost involved for something I recommend, I try. You try to get all that information in there. But if you're not really trying to market yourself, there's just not a whole lot you can write about. You've got to be willing to at least try a few things and be willing to share what went really well and what really bombed. I mean, but again, just because it bombed for me doesn't mean that it would bomb for the next reality blogger. That might work perfectly well for them. So there's a lot of trial and error, and you've got to be willing to take a few chances with your marketing. So I think those are the two biggest points there.
Okay. So what plans do you have for later this year? Like, what are you looking or do you have any additional places you're going to do some outreach to build your client base, or what are you thinking you're going to be doing after you're done here?
I've been trying to figure that out. I love the copywriting, but I also love SEO. I mean, it's one of those things that I geek out on. I think when I applied for this position, I think I referenced the fact that I wear three different caps. I either have my copywriter's cap, my coder's cap, or my gleaner's cap on. So you've got to have a little versatility there. And I'm thinking, I'm definitely gearing up for boot camp. Thrilled about the whole, the 3-day finding clients summit the following week. It's like, mm-hmm. Oh, 3 days is so much better than 3 hours. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping to land a couple clients from boot camp. Maybe see what else AWAI has available. I joined Circle of Success earlier this year. I just got tired of it's like, oh, I'd like to check out writing an ebook and then not being able to find good relative information on it. And it's like, if I just go to AWAI, I get the latest and greatest, and it comes from the people that are actually doing it. So I think after boot camp, I'm going to continue with my clients, through the end of the year. But I think next year, I think I may launch, go into the SEO and the content audits. It's a little bit easier.
That's a great market. Absolutely. That's a great place to focus. And you've been so great about, like, from an SEO perspective for our websites and everything, giving B2B Writing Success members all kinds of great advice about how to get their websites, closer to page one and everything.
Yes.
So, that's been phenomenally helpful. So we're about out of time. Is there anything that I didn't ask you that you want to share with with members or with anybody who might be thinking about applying for the reality blogger position? Is there anything you'd like to tell us that I didn't ask you?
It's not as easy as it seems. I remember when I saw the call, the email that I responded to, was it April of 2020, I think it was?
Probably,
I was just, yeah, I was like, I can do that with my eyes closed. You know, my business is up. I mean, we're licensed. I'm all set up here. My business has actually been in business since 2004. What I've done has changed over the years, but I've had the company, forever. So it's definitely not as easy as it seems. Being able to research things, especially if you're going to get into some of the technical stuff like SEO, because you don't want to put out bad information. So you need to not just, copy or, pull some citations from one article. You've actually got to do the due diligence and follow up. So I think that's the part, there's a lot more research that goes on to making those things, to making those blogs accurate and reliable information than just sitting down and, popping open a Word document and start typing away. Like I said, I don't think my process will work for everybody else. It might work for a few other people, but just be diligent on the research. Allow yourself plenty of time. What I've actually started doing the last few months now is, I submit my article on Wednesday for the reality blog, and Thursday morning, my first order of business is to Google around and find a list of ideas for next week's article and then start the process of figuring out what that's going to be. Sometimes it's kind of easy. I think I did one. I think we've got one coming up on I think it was some web design basics. Now something like that, an article like that, I can write from memory almost because, I've got a degree in that stuff. But some other things, some of the other topics I've covered, not so much. Like, finding out all details of what was included in the Google Web Vitals update, because nobody had one article that listed everything. And I remember, I think I spent literally a day and a half pulling all those, all the speed factors and everything, finding them across all the different places they were listed on the internet. I think I've enjoyed it. I wasn't sure if it was going, boot camp was going to get extended again or what was going to happen. And I was like, ooh, I actually wouldn't mind if, they did extend this for a while longer, but I do realize, it's supposed to be a temporary position, and it's been a huge benefit, especially for me trying to seriously get into the copywriting game, with everything that was going on last year. I don't think I would have been nearly as successful had I not been the reality blogger. And there was one other thing I wanted to throw in there. AWAI has worked with, I don't know how many thousands of different copywriters over the years. I couldn't even guess the number. But what I found is there are quite a few AWAI members running their own businesses and, doing their own thing right now. And I've answered a couple of calls for agencies, and when we're talking about the experience and this, that, and the other, and they say, "Well, where did you get your training?" And I say, "AWAI," and they're like, "Oh, me too." And I'm like, "Really?" And they're like, "Well, yes." And I said, "Well, what do you think about AWAI?" And they're like, "Well, they helped me get started. It's a bomb organization. No complaints." And I'm like, "Well, you might find this interesting, but I happen to be the reality blogger for the B2B group right now." And they're like, "You're writing for AWAI?" And I said, "Well, yes. I'm not writing the big sales letters, and I'm not doing the courses, but I am writing for AWAI." And at that point, the next question is, "Well, how soon can you start?"
Absolutely.
There is a huge credibility boost. working for AWAI, especially when you run across, as a matter of fact, a couple of the people I'm working that I'm a couple of these agencies, a couple of the people were wanting to go to boot camp because they were like, well, I haven't been to boot camp in like 5 years. I'm like, you should go. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, well, it's sold out. I'm like, well,
oh, yeah,
I know,
right.
But there's a virtual option now. So, but yeah, there's a lot of AWAIers out there. I don't know if that's an actual word or not. maybe AWAI graduates. And just stumbling across them, you know, that common thread, anything you can do to make it easier for the client to say yes, you know, and AWAI makes it, a lot easier for these clients to say yes.
That's a great point.
Especially if you don't have, I don't think I even had a portfolio when I applied. I think I had just written a few articles. Since you guys hired me for this position, I think according to Grammarly, and I know it's not an accurate count, but since April of 2020, I've written 1,400,000 words through Grammarly. So
yeah.
It's,
wow.
You'd be surprised. Yeah, and I'm like, gosh, that's like 6 Harry Potter books. Holy cow, I've been busy this year. my girlfriend's like, we're both Potterheads. She's a little bit more extreme than I am. And, when I saw that little thing from Grammarly the other day, and we just happened to be watching, I think it was the Half-Blood Prince or whatever. And I was just like, just as I've written, almost 1.5 million words in about 16 months. And so Amber immediately got on there and Googled, how many words does Harry Potter have? And she's like, no, you've written all 6 Harry Potter books. wow. So another perspective.
Yeah.
Is just like,
yeah.
I never would have thought.
Yeah, sure.
I'd
you get a lot of practice. Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Curtis, for agreeing to get on and talk with us and for all of the great ideas and content. What's up? You got another idea?
I was just going to say, I know that we've got people listening and they can't necessarily call in, but, you can throw a question out there in the B2B group, and I'm actually at my desk for the rest of the afternoon. I've got to jump into another website rewrite project, so I'll be kind of fumbling around with that this afternoon, and if anybody has any specific questions, they want to pop them in there at Facebook, I'll do my best to answer them. I think it's been...
Excellent. And we did just publish your article today as well on your experience as a reality blogger.
Yes. Very cool. Very cool. And, one thing, especially starting out, having an ongoing client for a year, if you're just getting started or just getting serious, does a lot to kind of steady the nerves a little bit. You've got something to look forward to on an ongoing basis as far as, recurring work. And you get a chance to build relationships with the people at AWAI. Plus they send me a check every month. I mean, this is like win-win, win-win-win. So I would say if anybody is seriously, even thinking about it, when I applied, I told my girlfriend, I was like, hey, AWAI is going to hire somebody to write, write articles for a year. And she's like, well, you're going to apply for that? And I was like, well, yeah, I think I could do that. My goal was I wanted to get past the first round of cuts. That's all I was really concerned about at that point in time. Was getting some, like I said, I had the success at boot camp, and it's like, okay, well, let's see if I'm still hitting the mark here, see if I'm as good as I think I am. And then it was like, ooh, yeah, we're considering you, so now we want you to write, another piece. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, wow, my goal was to just make it past the first round of cuts. And so when you guys came back and said, do you want the job? I about fell out of the chair. but like I said, the steady work, definitely kind of helped formalize your writing habits. Mine weren't that organized to begin with, but yeah, now it's a lot easier. I don't sweat 1,000-word articles anymore. It's not that difficult to do now. And I think that's part of one of the benefits of the Reality Blogger too, is you just you can create your system of what works for you and modify it or tweak it as you need to. And then when you're done with the reality blogger position, you just, you know, that organization stays with you. And the experience has just been phenomenal. So,
and all the published articles you now have as samples and everything. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Like I said, when I started, I don't think I had maybe three or four articles. I think we're going to end up with about 70 something for the reality blog plus everybody else. I've got quite a stack of samples now. I don't worry about samples anymore. And most of them are live links, which is even better. You know, to submit a Word document to somebody, you know, they're like, well, this is very nice. If it's on the internet, well, that's kind of a couple steps above just a good writing sample. This is good enough to get published. Makes a difference. But I'd say if you're thinking about it, go ahead and send it in. See what happens.
Right.
You know, you never know.
And where you send it in to, in case you didn't get the e-letter that went out on July 29th about this, is help@b2bwritingsuccess.com. So just drop me an email. Let me know you're interested in the reality blogger position, what you would bring to it, what you, you know, what experience you've had, what your goal is as a result of getting the reality blogger position. Those are all due by Thursday, August 6th. I will take a look at everything I've got in, and I'll let you know within the next couple of days whether or not we're going to ask you, as Curtis said, to go, you know, send us an article, right, to write something for us.
Mm-hmm.
And you will get paid to write that article. And then we'll whittle down the reality blogger from there. So thank you, Curtis. I really appreciate your generosity in getting online and talking to everybody about your experience.
Not a problem. Not a problem. Glad to help. Glad to help. So,
awesome.
Excellent. All right. Well, if anybody has a couple questions, they want to throw them in there in the B2B group on Facebook. Yeah, I'll be on and off the computer for the rest of the afternoon here. So if there's any questions, I'll do my best to answer them. And
great.
And good luck to everybody.
Great. Thank you much. And everybody have a great rest of your afternoon. Take care.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.